In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always get tripped up when I read this account of our Lord's final Easter appearance to his disciples, when St. Luke tells us they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. How can someone disbelieve and still be happy about it? One commentator suggests this means a purely emotional response, which is so powerful that they are too overwhelmed to really believe it in the sense of committing themselves to its reality. I assume that all of us have experienced at some time or another what we may call a mountaintop experience, a moment of spiritual enlightenment not normally experienced in daily life. It may have even led us to say things that are beyond the reality of true faith. The question of this text is, do you and I truly believe, or do we disbelieve, though be it for joy? Easter is a happy, even a triumphant celebration with, as you heard this morning, full organ and a brass and choir and timpani joyfully raising the roof. But then what happens? What happens to the joy we felt when we return to what strikes us as the same old of our lives? What happens? Disbelief? Jesus was convincing them that it really was himself, the same Jesus they had followed and who they knew, not a spirit or apparition, but a human body just like theirs, with hands and feet and flesh and bones. He could even still eat, though he didn't really need to, I suppose. But now, what is it that can change our disbelief, or anyone's, to real, convinced, committed, vibrant, saving faith? We're not surprised, of course, at the disbelief of the world around us. Especially in these days, we see an increase of not only doubt, but outright criticism, persecution, even mockery of the Christian faith and of Christians. During my lifetime, albeit slowly, things began to change when, for instance, the government decided prayer was to be barred, eliminated from our public schools. Thanks be to God for our even older Lutheran schools, which were not affected. But then, any instruction in or use of the Bible was and is forbidden. Some say that even the mention of God is to be removed, even from the National Pledge of Allegiance. You've seen symbols and plaques and statues representing the Ten Commandments, Christmas, or other biblical subjects being torn down, then removed. Churches are getting smaller. The theology and teaching of many churches is deteriorating to fit with modern non-sensibilities, not to mention the public decay of morality, especially in the area of sexuality. Now, we're not done, for it is, of course, easier for us to point the finger at others while disguising our own, be it private or partial participation. For that, we turn to the second section of our text. To move from disbelief and joy to joyful faith takes having your mind open to understand the Holy Scriptures of God's revelation and word, which we still have, thanks be to God, in most translations of the Bible. For it is only by God Himself, the Holy Spirit, working in minds and hearts through hearing God's word that He creates faith. Right? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. First, a person needs to hear the promise of salvation through the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. It's all there. Without this background, one may be left wondering what the New Testament and our Lord is really talking about. Then we need to hear the gospel. The gospel, not just happy hopes for good days, but how forgiveness of sins and salvation comes solely through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For that, of course, you need first to know who is Jesus Christ, to understand why what He has done should mean anything to you. On the basis of the revelation of these things from God's word, the gospel needs to be preached and heard. Today, Jesus says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Christ's name to all nations. You are witnesses of these things. That is, it's your task, your responsibility to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. Because in order to hear the gospel, a person first needs to be told, convinced, and believe his or her need for forgiveness, forgiveness of sins, that each person is a sinner and a slave to sin. It's sin that kills and destroys us and the whole world. We talk about sins of thought, word, and deed. Sinful thoughts lead to expressing it in words and then doing it. It may be a child's anger at his or her parents, or anyone's dishonor and disobedience to worldly authorities. What about the times when you either thought of hurting or harming someone, much less actually doing it? Are the recent shootings and terror attacks really worse than that bit of gossip you yourself participated in? Need we talk about sexual purity and decency, dishonesty, slander, or coveting? Or how about the second commandment and the modern social media phrase, OMG? Yes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's judgment against sin includes not only the trouble or suffering you may endure now because of it, but also that if it goes unconfessed, unforgiven now, there is a judgment day when those who have ignored or neglected God's claim of you will be rejected by God in everlasting punishment. Then, if and when a person realizes his or her true need of forgiveness, only then is the heart opened to hear, to really hear, to love and believe the gospel of the forgiveness of sins that is found in Jesus Christ alone. Most of the time, true faith and belief is not experienced in times of joy. They disbelieved for joy. But through tears of sadness, repentant tears. There is no other way. Yet to your surprise, this faith is not difficult to have, for it is pure gift. It is the gift of God to all who hear. Though our believing may be motivated at times only by occasional joys or temporary fears, we must know that this gift is ours by God's grace, if only we do not ignore it or reject it. Finally, Jesus points to the promise of His Father, that is, the Holy Spirit, who clothes you with power from on high. That power called faith. Faith is a mighty, active, living thing, a daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times, said Martin Luther. The good news for us is that you can have both. Both saving faith to believe and to be joyful over it. Today with the first disciples, we continue to rejoice in the Lord, the risen and living Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.